Romans chapter 4. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 2. The person who believes the gospel word of salvation spoken by God receives the removal of sins. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. We who have nothing to boast about before God. Through the word of Romans 4 given to us today, I would like to speak about how a person is justified before God. The Apostle Paul took Abraham as an example to testify that the way a person is justified is not by works, but by faith. To the Jews, Abraham was not a simple ancestor. He was the ancestor of faith, and a figure representing circumcision and the covenant. Therefore, revealing where that righteousness of Abraham came from becomes a matter of destroying all claims of trying to be saved by works from their very roots. The text asks like this: What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? Romans chapter 4, verse 1. If Abraham was justified by works, he would have had something to boast about before men. However, such boasting does not work before God. Everyone. What kind of person was Abraham? When he felt a threat to his life, he was a person who deceived that his wife was his sister and gave her to the king. He is a person who gave up his wife to save his own life. So what would Abraham have to boast about before God? There is nothing. Before God justified Abraham, he first broke his righteousness. After completely breaking that heart that boasted of its own righteousness, only then did he give him the righteousness of God through the faith that believes in the Word of God. This is the truth that the Word of Romans 4 gives us. We who are living in the New Testament era cannot be any different either. If we look deeply into our hearts, there is not a single righteousness to boast about. Standing under the light of the law, we were all sinners. God does not look at a person's outward appearance or religious merits. He looks at that faith that holds exactly onto the word God has given us. Looking at the word of Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This word is taken from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Before Abraham performed any religious ritual, when he accepted the word of promise given by God exactly as it was with his heart, he was acknowledged by God that his faith was right. Look, Abraham was a person who had not a single child until he was 100 years old. Even looking at his own body, or looking at Sarah's womb, there was absolutely no possibility of having a child. But when God said, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, Abraham believed that word exactly as it was. Although there was nothing visible to the eyes, because God spoke, he believed that he would surely do so. This is exactly the faith that believes in the Word of God. Accepting the word spoken by God into the heart exactly as heard, this is the faith that God acknowledges. Salvation received not as a wage for work, but by the faith that believes in the Word of God. Looking at the text of Romans chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, it says like this, Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Here, the Apostle Paul explains the principle of salvation by comparing it to the wage received by a person who works. If a person who works receives a wage, would he consider it as grace? No. He considers it as the price for the work that he naturally deserves to receive. He receives it as if paying off a debt. Therefore, if someone says he will be justified by building up his own righteousness, that becomes a statement that he will not receive the righteousness of God as grace, but receive it as if it were a wage. However, God works in the exact opposite way. God is him who justifies the ungodly. Even to a person who has not performed works, he accounts that faith for righteousness. Everyone, this word, the ungodly, is exactly our original state. When we commit sin, do we commit sin while fearing God? No, our reality is that we just commit sin as we live and fall into sin without even being greatly conscious of God. To us such as these, God does not demand repay with works. He tells us to be saved simply by believing in our hearts the gospel word of salvation that he himself prepared. That way of salvation is exactly the gospel of the water and the Spirit. By receiving baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, Jesus had the sins of all humanity transferred to his own body, and by bleeding and dying on the cross while bearing all those sins, He bore the price of our sins at once. And by resurrecting in 3 days after his death, he gave us eternal salvation. We receive salvation from all sins when we accept this truth of salvation with our hearts. Everyone, what happens if we place the center of gravity of our life of faith on works? We immediately stand in the position of a person demanding a wage. However, if we set our hearts on the gospel word of the water and the Spirit that God has led us here, we become those who receive salvation as a gift of faith. The blessing of salvation received by the happy man sung by David. Taking one step further from the example of Abraham, the Apostle Paul quotes David's Psalm 32. Looking at Romans chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, it says like this: Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. David was a king who lived under the law. However, the blessing he realized was not the blessing of a person who perfectly kept the law. Rather, it was the blessing of the one whose lawless deeds were removed. So he confessed, "Blessed are those whose sins are covered." Regarding this word, "are covered," some people interpret it as, "Jesus covers our sins so that he does not see them." However, everyone, you must not think like that. God is the one who watches us with eyes like flames of fire. He knows everything, even to the center of our hearts. So with what could we cover our sins? We cannot cover them. If sin remains exactly as it is somewhere but is merely covered from sight, that is not true salvation. Then what is this covering? It is that Jesus had the sins of the world transferred to his own body by receiving baptism from John the Baptist, received all the judgment of those sins on the cross, and resurrected from death to personally become the Savior of those who believe. The Lord had all our sins transferred to his own body at once through the gospel of the water and the Spirit, was crucified and died and resurrected from death to become the Savior of those who believe the Word of God. Therefore, the state where there is nothing more to condemn in God's sight, that is exactly the covered state. The word in verse 8, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin," makes this even clearer. What is the reason God does not impute sin? Is it because a person hid his sin well? No. It is because Jesus bore all the sins of humanity at once through the baptism he received at the Jordan River and paid all the price of those sins on the cross. So, for the person who has accepted the gospel of the water and the Spirit with his heart, sin itself, which is the basis for condemnation, has disappeared. Although David poured out and confessed his miserable sin in Psalm 51, in Psalm 32, he sang of the blessing of the one who received the removal of sins. The rest and peace enjoyed by a person who has received the removal of sins is a realm that can never be reached by the deeds of the law. It is the blessing of salvation enjoyed only by a person who has been saved by the faith that believes in the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, which is the word of the righteousness of salvation bestowed by God. Abraham, who was justified already before receiving circumcision. The Jews considered circumcision as the guarantee of righteousness. They firmly believed that Gentiles who did not receive circumcision were excluded from God's blessing. However, the Apostle Paul shakes the foundation of their false belief using the order of events recorded in Genesis. The event where Abraham was accounted righteous by faith is recorded in Genesis 15. However, the event of receiving circumcision appears only later in Genesis 17. That is, before Abraham received circumcision, while he was uncircumcised, he had already become a person whose faith in his heart was acknowledged as right through the faith that believes in the Word of God. Romans chapter 4 verse 11 clearly reveals this, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised." Circumcision was not a condition to obtain righteousness. It was merely a sign confirming his faith, which he had already received through the faith that believes in the word spoken by God. It means that an outward ritual does not make a person righteous, but it was confirmed as a sign of salvation by believing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became our Savior through the baptism he received from John, the shedding of blood on the cross, and the resurrection from death. Thus, Abraham became not only the ancestor of the circumcised Jews, but also the ancestor of all believing Gentiles who are uncircumcised. Furthermore, even for those who are circumcised, Abraham becomes the true ancestor of faith only to those who follow the footsteps of the faith, believing in the word of God that Abraham had when he was uncircumcised. Everyone, this word blocks all attempts today to supplement salvation with religious rituals and works. No outward ritual within Christianity can justify a person by itself. Only the salvation received when one believes in the heart in the Savior Jesus Christ, who received baptism from John the Baptist, shed blood on the cross, and resurrected from death, is true salvation. The one who acknowledges our faith that believes in this gospel word of the water and the Spirit as right is exactly Jesus Christ. It means that the Lord acknowledges the person who has accepted the gospel of the water and the Spirit by faith as the true heir of Abraham. Salvation given not by the faith of the law, but by the faith that believes in the Word of God. Romans chapter 4 verses 13 through 15 clearly explains the relationship between the law and the promise. The covenant God made with Abraham and his descendants, that they would be the heirs of the world, was a promise already given 430 years before the law was given at Mount Sinai. Therefore, that covenant was not based on keeping the law from the beginning, but was a promise of blessing made solely through the righteousness of faith that believes in the Word of God. If the promise of salvation is fulfilled only for those who kept the law, does a person with a legalistic faith become a saved person? No, it means that Abraham was able to become the ancestor of faith by having his faith acknowledged through the faith that believes in the Word of God. Romans chapter 4 verse 15 says, "The law brings about wrath." This word accurately reveals the original function of the law. The law is not a tool that makes a person righteous. The law is God's holy standard that clearly defines what a person's sin is. Before receiving the law, we did not clearly know what sin was. But after the law was given, all our lawlessness is clearly revealed as sin. Therefore, through the law, no one can have his faith acknowledged by God. Only by the faith that believes in the work of Jesus, who bore all those sins revealed by the law at once, that is, the gospel of the water and the Spirit, can one be saved from all sins. If one does not believe this word of salvation, such a person immediately falls into legalism. The religious mindset of trying to appear as a right person before God by one's own good deeds alters the essence of the promise Abraham received, and ultimately makes one reject the gospel of Christ. Everyone, it is like people who believe that Jesus who hung on the cross is our Savior, yet think that in living, they must live according to the law. But trying to live according to the law does not work well. So what do? They pray prayers of repentance every day. And they set up the logic of their own thoughts that if they pray prayers of repentance, their sins disappear. But think carefully. If sins disappear by praying prayers of repentance, then is the prayer of repentance your Savior, or is Jesus the Savior? That is mixing the law and believing in Jesus. By mixing them like that, it does not become salvation. When a person who despaired under the wrath of the law accepts by faith the fact of the baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist, his shedding of blood on the cross, and his resurrection from death, that sin revealed by the law disappears at once, and he is acknowledged as a person of faith who has received the removal of sins before God. The gospel word of the water and the Spirit necessary to belong to the grace of salvation given by God. In verse 16, the basic structure of salvation is compressed. The word, "therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace," makes it clear that the promise is not based on a person's good merits, but belongs to God's grace from beginning to end through the faith that believes in the word of salvation given by God. The reason God placed the channel of the promise not on the deeds of the law but on faith is to firmly establish that promise to all descendants without wavering. If God had made keeping the law as a condition, no one would have been able to become an heir according to God's word of promise. However, God allowed us to receive salvation from our own sins through the faith that believes in the word of God. Therefore, whether a Jew who lived under the law or a Gentile who did not know the law, he allowed anyone to be saved by the faith that believes in God's gospel word of the water and the Spirit. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 shows what kind of person the object of that faith is. The God Abraham believed in is God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Within this short verse, the power of resurrection and the authority of creation are contained together. The God Abraham relied on is the one who raised up a nation from his body, which was as good as dead at 100 years old, and from the closed womb of Sarah. Also, he is the one who created the universe from nothing. And finally, when his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, was baptized by John and bled and died hanging on the cross, he is the one who raised him to life again in 3 days after his death. The gospel of the water and the Spirit that we believe is also the gospel work of salvation that this God of power personally accomplished. By receiving baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, Jesus had the sins of the world transferred to his body at once, and by being crucified and shedding his precious blood to receive the punishment for sin, he paid the price of our sins at once, and by rising from the dead, he has now granted eternal salvation to us who believe in God's work. The faith that believes in the gospel word of the water and the Spirit is indeed the faith of the true gospel of salvation that is in the exact same flow as Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith that held on to God's word of promise even in a body as good as dead. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 to 22 shows what Abraham's faith looked like. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. This word shows that the situation he was in was a state where no hope remained when seen through human eyes. Abraham's body, which reached 100 years old, was already as good as dead, and Sarah's womb was also in a state unable to have a child. Looking honestly at his own body and his wife's body, there was absolutely no possibility seen for the promise to be fulfilled. Nevertheless, the text testifies that even knowing this reality clearly, he did not become weak in faith. What is the core of Abraham's faith? It is not that Abraham denied the limits of his own body. While squarely facing those limits, he placed the focus of his gaze not on his own ability, but on the word of God. Verse 21 records, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He did not doubt the word of promise given to him, but rather was strengthened in faith and gave glory to God. This is exactly the exemplary appearance of the faith that receives the word of God. The faith that receives the gospel of the water and the Spirit is also like this. When we examine our hearts and deeds, we have nothing to boast about, and our will also constantly wavers. However, when we lift our gaze and look at Jesus Christ, the baptism he received from John at the Jordan River, the blood he shed on the cross, and his resurrection 3 days after death, we must believe the fact that this work of God had all our sins transferred at once and saved us from the judgment of our sins. When we acknowledge and accept with our hearts the gospel word of the water and the Spirit given by Jesus Christ by faith, God acknowledges that faith as a right faith. The word of verse 22, "And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness," is not a word given only to Abraham. It is the word of God given also to all of us now who believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit with the same faith. The faith that believes in Jesus Christ, who resurrected from death, as our Savior. The last three verses of Romans 4 do not end with the story of one man, Abraham. "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification." That event in Genesis 15 was not God's word only for Abraham. It was a model of faith given to all people who hear and believe as the word of God, the salvation work of Jesus Christ, his baptism, cross, and resurrection from death, which saved humanity from the sins of the world. When we accept with our hearts that both the word of promise Abraham heard and the gospel word of the water and the Spirit told to us today are the words of God, we become those who receive salvation from all our sins. Verse 24 clearly reveals who the one we must believe is, who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. The one we believe in is not a vague God. He is the living Father God who raised Jesus to life again from the dead. With the power that raised Jesus from the dead, God is acknowledging our faith that believes in the Word of God as a righteous faith. And Romans chapter 4, verse 25, clearly reveals the main point of the entire chapter 4 in two ways. Who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Here, the word "was delivered up because of our offenses" points to the work where Jesus had the sins of the world transferred to him by the baptism he received from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, and paid all the price of our sins by hanging on the cross and shedding blood. Everyone, if Jesus had not had the sins of the world transferred to him through baptism, the death on the cross and the resurrection would have become events that have nothing to do with us. Therefore, the delivering up and raising up of verse 25 must be fully understood within the gospel of the water and the Spirit. If one only emphasizes the blood of the cross and leaves out the baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist, the full meaning of the gospel becomes blurred. If the resurrection is left out, the event that eternally guaranteed our justification disappears. Only when believed as a salvation work where these three, baptism, blood, and resurrection, are connected as one, is the meaning of the gospel of salvation fully revealed. The faith that believes in the work of salvation God spoke to us. Having our faith acknowledged as right by God does not stop at merely an outward declaration. It comes upon us as the peace that all the sins that were deep in our hearts received the removal of sins at once through the faith that believes in the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. Everyone, Romans 4, is, in a word, the Apostle Paul's decisive answer to the question, how does a person obtain salvation from sin before God? What is the answer? It is not the deeds of the flesh, but the faith that believes in the Word of God. To say it more accurately, it is the faith that accepts the Word God told us exactly as it is into the heart. Abraham accepted the word of promise God spoke exactly as it was by faith when he was uncircumcised, and had that faith acknowledged as right. And David sang of the blessing of the one who received the removal of sins under the law. What the testimonies of the two men point to is exactly the same. God did not make a person's religious merits the basis of right faith, but he granted the gift of salvation to the person who accepts into his heart, by faith, the word of God of salvation that he himself prepared. This truth of salvation was revealed in its perfect form within the gospel of the water and the Spirit when it reached the New Testament. By receiving baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, Jesus had the sins of the world transferred to his own body, and by bleeding and dying on the cross while bearing all those sins, he bore all the price of sin, and by resurrecting in 3 days after his death, he guaranteed eternal salvation to us who now believe the Word of God. Therefore, the way of salvation given to us today is clear. Do not look for things to boast about in your own deeds. Honestly acknowledge your own shortcomings and become a person who is saved from all sins by believing in your heart the gospel word of the water and the Spirit that God has already prepared. Everyone who does so becomes a person acknowledged by God by believing the word of God like Abraham. Just as Abraham did not waver even at 100 years old, when we hold on to the word of God by the faith that believes in the truth word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, no matter what our circumstances are, we become people of faith who have the unwavering assurance of eternal salvation. This is exactly the word of faith of the greatest comfort that Romans 4 conveys to us today.